Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
Our Matrix server is about as free as internet chat can be. Join the existing rooms or create your own at chat.freetalklive.com.
Free Talk Live. We're kicking off the third hour of the program here. The number is 603-283-6160. That's 603-283-6160. Phones are open, and you can bring up whatever you want to discuss. And by the way, I do want to say thank you to Libertarian, who is a Free Talk Live supporter of our AMPS program, Diamond Level, meaning I think he's doing $50 a month, so thank you, Libertarian.
Ah, thank you. I should stop giving you such a hard time on our Matrix server. To be fair, though, Libertarian gives me a really hard time.
He trolls hard there, so I mean, I'm sure he's used to getting it back. You can't troll hard without expecting it to be returned to you.
Hey, he's rough on Turd Ferguson, though, man.
I mean, Turd deserves it, so.
They
have their fun. You know, if they didn't want
it is a fun server.
If they didn't want to keep doing it, they just wouldn't come back, and all keep coming back to have at one another. So, Libertarian, the longtime supporter here of the AMPS program, you can join him, and you don't have to do $50 a month. We only ask for $5. So, please help us out. It makes us more able to be independent. We don't have to rely on advertisers' money. In fact, right now we're relying on zero advertisers' dollars. So we'd like to have a little more in the AMP funds to help us get through things. But if you want to help us, it is much appreciated. You can join over at amps.freetalklive.com. That's amps.freetalklive.com. As I said, I'd be totally fine if we never had another advertiser in the lifetime of Free Talk Live. But we do need to get a little bit more direct support, and it would be great to just be able to say, you know what, we don't need ads anymore. That would be an amazing transition to be able to make.
I think that's a good thing. Well, I mean, the market put, I mean, the transition has been made, whether intentionally or not. At the moment, it is solely supported by listeners.
Well, supported, I wouldn't say is...
Okay.
It's attempting to be supported.
Right.
It's partially supported, I think, would be more appropriate. Like, we couldn't cut back enough to get to the point where this level of support is enough to keep the show going. So we're subsidizing, basically, at this point. So please help us out. You get some perks. You get some benefits. You get access to the AMPS-only podcast, which has the full radio show with no recorded commercials at all. Just go to amps.freetalklive.com. And thank you to everybody that's signed up recently. We've had a good splurge of people, a lot of people, former amplifiers, come back to help us out again. So thank you guys for that. And thank you to everybody who's brand new as well. amps.freetalklive.com. Let's go to Sarah. She's in New Mexico. Sarah, go ahead.
Hi. So I just was kind of interested yesterday of what you were telling me about what was going on in Canada, and I wanted to kind of do a repeat here. I just need the better explanation of the cigarette binders.
So yeah. Okay. So you're referring to a story that I told yesterday about how when I was visiting Canada in, like, probably 2008, I think it was, maybe 2007, somewhere in that range, that when we went to a convenience store, we were looking to buy alcohol at the time. As it turns out, you have to go to the government stores in order to buy alcohol, or at least this is the way it was 15 years ago. I don't know if it's that way
was
today.
Was this even for beer?
I believe it was for beer
and
wine and liquor, if I recall correctly. Again, Canadians are probably yelling at the radio if you feel like you want to call in. And it might have just been on Ontario province or whatever, right?
Sure.
We were in Toronto at the time. So I don't know. But that's my experience. And in order to buy cigarettes, you could not actually look at a display. They were all being hidden. And you had to actually get a binder from the cashier. And then you could look through the binder to actually see what the inventory was that the store had. And then you'd say, oh, I want this, you know, Marlboro Reds or whatever it was. I mean, obviously, if you knew what you wanted, you could ask for it. But if you wanted to see what the inventory was, they had a binder because you could not be able to, you were not able to, allowed to actually look with your own eyes at a display in the store. So that's what the situation was, Sarah.
Okay, so where would they have this? Behind the counters or behind the cabinet, or was not visible?
The cashier had it behind the counter, so you would have to ask the cashier, and then the cashier would get the binder out for you.
Oh, but they actually have the products in where they could get them. But
well, obviously,
yes. If I recall correctly, and again, it's been 15 years, they had the products, but they were hidden. So, like, they were out, the cigarettes were in racks, as you might expect them to be, and they just had, like, white cards in front of them, completely obscuring your vision as far as what the brands were.
Wow, this is the Ontario, Vancouver area, the West Coast.
No, Vancouver is completely on the other side of Canada. That is the West Coast. Ontario province is the sort of the eastern side of Canada. Not quite Quebec, but the next one.
Do you like this idea, Sarah?
Of course she does.
Well, you know what? I'm trying to understand all of the things to... Because I'm like, well, why is it that this is the first time I'm hearing about this? I mean, the anti...
Because you're not on the internet. You're a loser in New Mexico who doesn't do anything.
How would you know? I mean, you haven't taken the time to research other places in the world because you're completely fine with where you're at. We've given you plenty of examples of other countries which are far more communist or more socialist, more controlling in the ways that you would want. Like, you called in last night to gloat about how Mexico is now banning smoking in all public places, and we asked you why you wouldn't move to Mexico, even though it's right there. You're in New Mexico now. So it's just a, you know, hop, skip, and a jump across the border, and you're down in a place that would, in theory, make you happier. But you're so addicted to the welfare and the status quo that you're not even willing to explore other options that might even be better for you. So that's how you don't know. You've never looked into anything else besides your little circle of where you're at and whatever welfare programs you can get on.
Yeah, never mind moving. Sarah won't even go there.
My whole point is that I already live in a socialist communist state. That's my whole point.
But it's not good enough for you. They're not passing smoking bans.
Well, I mean, we did pretty good. We have no smoking signs. But I could do better since I learned about this.
Yeah, why don't
my
you go visit?
How come our New Mexico against tobacco are something all this? I should have been hearing about it on the news.
You know, why would you hear about this on the news in New Mexico, Sarah?
Well, when they were working on the anti-smoking on the restaurants and bars, it was all on the news, radio.
Yes, that was happening in New Mexico, though.
Why would KOB News in Albuquerque report on the cigarette policy in Toronto?
She doesn't know.
Because I'm just thinking that our anti-tobacco people would have already caught on and try to do that here. See, I already knew that there were people that were trying to ban smoking scenes in the movies. They were working on it 15 years ago, and they accomplished that. You're not allowed to have smoking scenes.
That's not true.
And I knew the people.
Smoking scenes haven't been banned. They've just become uncool. It's unpopular. Now only bad guys smoke in movies, that kind of thing.
Well, I mean, they were trying to eliminate they were working on that like maybe 17 years ago, and I knew the people that were working on it, and I just thought, oh, they're just...
What the hell does
it
matter if somebody's smoking in a movie, Sarah? What do you think that's doing to people?
Well, it's the same thing as the display. They don't want teenagers and children to look at the cigarette. It's the same thing. They don't want people to be watching a movie and having all these people...
They think smoking's cool, right? You don't want people to think smoking's cool. That's why you don't
smoking
want...
Smoking is cool, though. It is. And, I mean,
that's why you...
I don't know why it is, but it certainly is. If you start a new job and you want to find the cool people, you find the smokers every single time.
What cool people? There's hardly no more smokers around. You even...
I know. They've all started vaping, and they're no longer cool.
Well, yeah, and then all the casinos are banning smoking, like the Navajo Nation.
Not all the casinos. Some of the Native American or the Indian casinos are doing so, and they were never popular in the first place. I mean, if you're going to go to a casino, go to one of the American ones. I mean, realistically, you're going to get free drinks there. You're going to be able to smoke there. You're going to have a much better time at Harrah's or MGM.
I mean, some places all you can do is go to the Indian casino, right?
But that's the only reason Indian casinos are popular and successful in the first place is because
that's all there is.
They're on reservations, so they don't have to follow the Indian gambling laws or whatever. So
yeah, Sarah, I recommend you take a vacation from your work-free life and go down to Mexico or go up to Canada and see it for yourself.
Do the Mexico one. It's way closer.
Are they doing this in Mexico? Are you telling me?
I don't know. I have no idea. They just passed an insane smoking ban in Mexico. It would shock me if they were still going to show the cigarettes on the shelves there.
Why don't you go and you tell us, Sarah?
Yeah, give us a call from across the border and let us know. Yeah, let us know.
Well, I mean, the thing is, I know the beaches and the hotels, I mean, that's their money. Tourism is a big industry in Mexico. That's most of their money. They don't want to run off all the tourists.
Well, apparently they don't care about running off the smoking tourists because they're going to tell them they can't smoke outside anywhere in public in Mexico as of Sunday, this past Sunday. It's in effect now.
That's correct.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, what smokers got any money to travel? I mean,
yeah, smokers have money.
Oh, my God.
They're broke.
What?
Ridiculous.
How do you come to that conclusion, Sarah?
Like 300. Okay, most of the people that can't afford to travel are non-smokers because they have money. The smokers, they blow like $300 a month on cigarettes.
I'll give it to you. The smoking is expensive. Yeah, I'll absolutely give you that. And it's obscenely expensive.
It is. No, there's no doubt it's a bad habit, and certainly people who don't smoke have more disposable income that they can spend on other things. But there's plenty of people who make plenty of money to where they can afford to smoke and also go on vacation.
And if you do roll your own cigarettes, it's not even that expensive.
That's true. Yeah, that's true.
It costs like $1 a day to smoke at
and
that
I
point.
Bet if you buy them in Mexico, they're probably still pretty cheap there.
Probably.
As well. Sarah, I mean, Ciudad, I'm looking at a map here. Ciudad Juarez is not that far from where you're at. Why don't you just take a bus and go down there and see for yourself what it's like to buy cigarettes in Mexico?
I really don't know, but, you know, I just want to say smokers are outnumbered.
You've got money.
Like,
I mean, you're getting welfare. You don't have a job. You got time. You have money and time. A Greyhound ticket probably isn't more than $100 still these days to go down to Mexico.
Smokers are outnumbered, Sarah.
I just want to see how this pans out, but it is kind of interesting.
Why don't you get Richard to take you down to Mexico, your roommate, your retired roommate, who...
The one you're exploiting.
Well, that's not fair to say she's... It's an agreement. She's got an arrangement that is mutually beneficial.
Yes, but Sarah is a communistic welfare whore who wants to make everyone suffer because they don't fit into what she thinks is an acceptable little box. So
that's true.
If I can criticize her for exploiting someone, I'm going to, whether it's true or not, because she's an awful person. She's okay with allowing innocent people to die in order to establish her worldview as she wants. So, I mean, exploiting people is one of the least evil things Sarah could be doing right now.
$51.
I have no idea. I paid my rent here. I don't know what to talk about that I'm exploiting somebody. You know what I mean?
I'm seeing tickets here down to Ciudad Juarez for $51, Sarah. That's like nothing.
I have no idea what they're doing, but I really think that they did this for tourism dollars. You know, I don't know.
What the hell are you talking about?
This is going to run tourists away. This is going to piss tourists off.
Look, for every one smoker, there's 5 non-smokers. Okay?
No one's going. I'm not going to Mexico because they let people smoke there.
There's probably somebody. Maybe that's why Sarah won't go.
Sarah won't go because she's cheap and lazy.
Well, that's true. Thank you, Sarah, for the call. Thanks for the call.
Why won't you go to Mexico?
She's gone.
Oh, she's gone. Sorry. Oh, well. No, that's a great loss.
You'll get her back tomorrow.
Oh, I'm sure.
603-283-6160. That's 603-283-6160. And it's got to be just laziness because we've had people offer to buy her tickets to places like China and other communist places that should, Cuba, for instance, you know, spending, people have been willing to spend hundreds of dollars on giving Sarah a one-way ticket to going to these places, and she has refused, steadfastly refused.
Yeah, you mentioned a Greyhound ticket. What did you say, $51?
It looks like it's cheap. Well, it may not be Greyhound, but some bus, some like cheapy bus, $51. They say the average bus price from Albuquerque to Ciudad Juarez is $105.
That's super cheap for a vacation to Mexico, man.
Yeah, it's cheap.
And you, if you had a car, you could drive there even cheaper, but I understand. So take the bus. $105 is cheap, Sarah.
Yeah, and you get a little culture. You experience a different place, even though it's not that far south from you.
And anyway, they don't smoke there. There's,
she's not listening.
All sorts of, no, she's not. But there's all sorts of reasons that she could do it.
She could.
And then she could stay there and never bother Americans again with her nonsense.
So speaking of nonsense, we're talking about these sad people who are depressed over having seen a movie they really liked. Avatar is what we're talking about. And we're talking about the first Avatar. There were people who saw the movie. They were so blown away by the visuals. I mean, they certainly weren't blown away by the plot. I mean, it really wasn't much of a plot. It was, you know,
it was an all right plot, but it wasn't.
Space alien mankind tries to take unobtainium and things go boom. Dude who has an avatar saves the.
Yeah,
Navi.
They keep characterizing it as science fiction, and I guess in the strictest of terms, it is science fiction, but I just don't like that characterization of it. It's not science fiction-y to me. It's
fantasy as well, I think.
I don't know what I would call it, but I mean,
well, it's science in that, you know, there's the technology aspect of putting your consciousness into this avatar body, and then there's spaceships, right?
Yeah, I don't know, man.
That's about as far as it goes.
Technically,
though,
it's definitely science fiction, but something about it just doesn't sit right with me as falling in the science fiction category. It's just like the Game of Thrones series being fantasy. It's like, yes, it's fantasy, but it doesn't fit in.
It's drama too.
In the category, as I understand it, of fantasy. Mm-hmm. So I don't know.
The Variety.com story here is what we've been sharing. It's about these. So far, all males, by the way. They have not given an example of a female who is suffering from the same avatar.
That's true. That's
issue.
Curious.
And there's actually an image here of these people.
Did they fall in love with the blue people? And then they were sad because the blue people couldn't exist?
I don't know if they would admit to that, but certainly they fallen in love with the world of the Pandora and the Navi, and they love them enough to where they've learned the language and they practice the language. So I mean, this is a level of fan obsession that, hey, look, I don't want to make it sound like I'm criticizing people for their fanaticism, right? Like
maybe not to an extent.
If this is, if you know, everybody has to pass the time until they die doing something, and you know, some people like to watch sports. That ain't for me. Some people like to play video games. I like video games. I don't play them anymore because I just don't have much time for them. Some people like to get into one specific type of one franchise of movies or you know, television series and become obsessed. They write fan fiction. They draw artwork, fan artwork and things like that. And, you know, hey, to each his or her own, but to be depressed over it. Is a whole other level of obsession.
Yeah, that's where things get weird.
This is where you're, like, you know, in a dangerous kind of space. And maybe it's just because these are people who would have been depressed anyway, and they just happened to see this thing that they really enjoyed, and then that just fed their depression because then it gave them something to say, oh, if only my life were on Pandora.
I agree with that. I don't think you could be depressed by the movie Avatar unless you were already prone to depression and you were going to be depressed anyway.
I think that's true.
And this just gave you, it was a catalyst maybe at the most, or it just gave you an excuse or a thing for you to point your depression at.
Well, and so this story gets into sort of the weird details about what these fanatics, because that's what fan is short for, right? Fanatics have gone through and the way they are quote-unquote supporting each other. So this guy, Perrin, who's the 24-year-old artist, he admits that he had teamed up with one of the Clutral's community leaders. Clutral is the Discord server that they all talk to one another about their fanaticism.
Did they ever say what that stood for?
No, but I bet we could look it up. Okay. No, but it doesn't say that. So,
I mean, I'm certain it's Navi for something.
The dude offered him a ride from Arizona to Texas and a roof to sleep under. He said, quote, "They've been a family I didn't know I could ever have. I never thought that my life would be so changed for the positive when I saw some movie about blue space aliens," unquote. The other guy in this story, Williamson, has also worked on his relationship with Avatar, reconciling a longing to engage with the property with its potential for it to trigger his depression. The solution he found worked best for him was simply allowing himself to be fully drawn in, a credo he has shared with others.
Quote, so to avoid depression, he has to become obsessed? Is that right?
That's what he's saying here. He says, "I talked to my psychiatrist about it, and she had a piece of advice I wasn't expecting. Let yourself do it. Stop trying to stop yourself," he says, recalling the weeks after he had exited college for a semester as he was depressed over seeing this movie.
Maybe get a second opinion next time.
He said, "I watched Avatar repeatedly, delved into the language community, and started learning Na'vi. After a week or so, it stopped. I've never had an incident since." Well, so apparently it worked for him.
Maybe, but like, I don't know that you did anything. I don't know that there was any positive gain here. You simply went from being depressed to being obsessed. And I'm not sure that's a net gain for anyone or your own mental health. Now, instead of being depressed and isolated or lonely or whatever it was, you're investing all of your mental efforts into this fantasy world that doesn't exist. I don't know that that's any better.
I'm going to give it to him.
Okay.
I'm going to say that it's a step up, because having talked to and being, you know, roommates with that on occasion, depressed people, I know how just sad they can be. And, like, they don't even want to get out of bed in some cases. And, it, you know, you said something earlier, like, look, just do it. You can say that to a depressed person, and it never works. You, I mean, because for us, it's like, oh, we know going outside is a good thing. It's healthy. You walk the dog. You get some fresh air. It feels good. Studies show that people who are depressed, if they actually get some exercise on a regular basis, it helps alleviate their depression. You can tell all that to a depressed person.
Right.
But it isn't going to help their ass get out of bed and actually go out for a damn walk.
No, and I get that. As someone who's been dealing with anxiety, especially recently and stuff like that, you know, no amount of knowing that X is true or, you know, there's no reason for me to think that, you know, this person hates me or whatever. No amount of knowing that rationally is going to change anything. And that's just the nature of how the human brain seems to function. No amount of knowing that you would feel better if you got out there and went out just for a walk is actually going to motivate you to actually go out and take that walk.
Right. So that's why I'm giving him this one, because he's getting out of bed, I presume, to do this work. He's going online. He's reading about the Na'vi language. He's practicing it. He's speaking it to his friends on this Discord server. It's giving him something to live for, you know?
Okay. Not wrong.
Yeah. Everybody's, like I said, everybody's got their thing. And maybe he found his. The number here is 603-283-6160. This is Free Talk Live.
First, we decide where we want to go. Then we need to know the best way to get there. Hi, my name's Adam Baratta. I'm the owner of Advantage Gold. We're the highest rated precious metals firm in the country. We teach people how to own physical gold and silver. Now, we've won the Best of TrustLink Award 4 years in a row because we educate our clients on how to buy gold and silver the right way. We don't pay celebrity spokespeople millions of dollars. We'd rather pass that value on to you. Call 800-900-8000 and speak with one of our experts. We'll send you a free gold kit along with my latest number one national best-selling book, The Great Devaluation. Call 800-900-8000. That's 800-900-8000. Get the best information, the best process, the best service, the best value. Call Advantage Gold at 800-900-8000. Call 800-900-8000.
Advantage Gold is not an investment advisor or a tax advisor. Consult with your financial advisor before investing.
Call 800-900-8000.
USA News Update. The White House remains mum on the topic of classified documents found in President Biden's possession, even at his private home in Delaware. White House Press Secretary Karine Jean-Pierre referred reporters to other administration departments.
We are consistent with what we have said on cooperating fully with the Department of Justice on this issue, and we will continue to cooperate fully with the special counsel.
The White House also calling on Republican leaders in Congress to focus on raising the nation's debt ceiling without conditions. Two high-profile conservative lawmakers are now receiving committee assignments after being stripped of them in the Democratic-controlled House in 2021. House Republicans gave Representatives Marjorie Taylor Greene and Paul Gosar spots on the Oversight and Accountability Committee, which plans to launch several investigations into President Biden and his administration. I'm Ryan Daniels, USA News.
Do you need to get your hands on some extra money right now? Maybe $25,000 or more? If you're a homeowner, now is the perfect time to get cash out while homes in many neighborhoods like yours have gone up in value. You can use the money for anything. It's yours. You can buy an investment property, pay off higher interest debt, or make home improvements. If you need $25,000, $50,000, or more, now is the time. Home values are up, and so is your equity. We offer you a way to use it. No need to use your savings. Call New American Funding now and see how much cash out you can get. Call 800-721-2477. 800-721-2477. 800-721-2477. That's 800-721-2477. NMLS 6606. www.nmlsconsumeraccess.org. This is not an offer or commitment to lend. Subject to borrower and property qualifications. Not all borrowers will qualify. Terms and conditions apply. Equal housing opportunity.
Tejibo Tea Club's original Pure Pouty Arco Super Tea helps build red corpuscles in the blood, which carry oxygen to our organs and cells. Our organs and cells need oxygen to regenerate themselves. The immune system needs oxygen to develop, and cancer dies in oxygen. So the tea is great for healthy people because it helps build the immune system, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. The tea is also organic and naturally caffeine-free. A one-pound package of tea is $49.95, which includes shipping. To order, please visit shopsupertea.com. The first word is shop, spelled S-H-O-P, then the word super, and then the word tea. The complete website is shopsupertea.com, or call us at 818-984-6100, Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. California time. That's 818-984-6100. ShopSuperT.com.
We still do email. Drop your email address in the entry box at freetalklive.com, and you'll be kept in the loop with Free Talk Live.
Free Talk Live. You can join the show here. You can bring up whatever you want. The number is 603-283-6160. That's 603-283-6160. We're talking about what seemed at the beginning to be a story that was just kind of sad about these depressed individuals who have become obsessed with the movie Avatar, the first one. From 2009, over the last decade, people have seen this movie and apparently have become very sad about the comparison between their reality, their life, perhaps the humdrum life that they might lead at a job they don't like or whatever, compared to this lush fantasy world of the movie Avatar. And
that is sad, but the most recent example was someone who suffered from depression and found Avatar sort of cured that depression.
When he fully, went into his obsession with it, rather than just trying to keep away from it, he says his psychiatrist recommended that he just delve completely into it, and he said that after a week, it essentially cured his problem. A week of essentially, doing everything he could regarding this movie that he enjoyed so much, such as learning the language of the blue characters, the Na'vi, in the films. I mean, it seems pretty amazing, but that's his story. And so kudos to him for that. The rest of the piece here from Variety goes into the uncertainty about the new movie that at this time, when this was written, it was just before the movie came out. It says, so now the Avatar community is entering uncharted waters, the release of another series entry, and an epic length, even more technically dazzling one at that. putting aside a Disney World attraction, a few derided video games, and a handful of recent graphic novels, Avatar fans have largely been driven by self-sustaining enthusiasm, fixating on just one film for over a decade.
I did not know there were even video games. They must have been flops.
Probably. The Way of Water will make waves, which is the name of the sequel, will make waves in the community like nothing has before. While helping run Clitural, which is their online Discord server, Mr. Pavo has observed a number of members pondering the potential mental health impact of a return to Pandora. Quote, there's definitely been a couple of people, less than you could count on one hand, who have mentioned, man, I'm worried this is going to hit me different, he says. Most of us are blinded by excitement. We're not even thinking about the possible consequences of what the world looks like after this movie.
That's such a strange thing to even...
consider?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like, how is this going to affect me? It's a movie.
Just have
right?
fun.
Yeah.
Just go and enjoy it. But for Williamson, there aren't many hard narrative expectations. The promise of finally expanding the scope of Pandora is more than enough to whet his appetite. But while he's bracing for an intense emotional viewing experience, imagine having to brace yourself before going in to watch a movie.
I mean, maybe for like a really scary movie that you know is going to be scary, I understand bracing yourself. But for like Avatar, I don't get it, man. I just don't.
I don't ever brace myself for a scary movie either. It's like you go in for the experience of being scared by
right.
the thing, right? Like you accept that when you go in to that movie. I think there's a difference between, expecting and accepting and bracing oneself.
For- well, certainly. I mean, bracing oneself is like, I don't know... what one has...
Just, I'm envisioning someone, like, breathing heavily, like, pumping themselves up.
I'm trying to reconcile this with my understanding of the movie Avatar and what it's about and what it does, and I just don't understand how a person becomes so emotionally wrapped up in this fantasy world that it could do this to them.
Yeah.
It's just a That's movie.
Amazing. Let's go to your phone calls here. Caller, you're on the air. What's your name?
Hey, it's Tom.
Tom, what's on your mind?
I just saw the headline of tonight's show. I'm not sure if you guys are talking it. But, the whole idea of AI creating like 90% of the content online, is that something that's been talked about?
Oh, man, I thought I updated the headline before the show. Maybe it didn't take or whatever. We did cover that last night, but you're certainly welcome to cover it. You're certainly welcome to comment. I mean, it's open phones here every night. So, we covered it quite a bit last
sure.
night. What about it?
Okay. Well, So when I was in college, I took a psych class on, like, logic. It was a logic course. Like, you had, like, either statistical logic or, what do you call that? I don't know, the sociological or psychological statistics on determining what is true.
Okay.
Right? Like I took the more scientific route. But anyways, I was really hungry for this idea about what is true. Like, how do we determine what is true? And I went through the course. I really appreciated the professor, although I disagreed with him politically. He was, like, kind of lefty. But at the end of it, I was like, well, okay, so how do we really determine what is true? Like, he went through the anatomy of an argument. Was you have a conclusion, which is backed up by... reasons, which is backed up by facts, like three parts. And I'm like, okay, cool, we understand this, but what is true? And he's like, well, that's up to you. And I was so disappointed by that, if you can understand what I'm saying. Because there really is no material or substantial answer for anyone. They have to all of us have to individually determine what is true. Okay? Do you follow me?
Yeah, I would say that's a large portion of life is determining what is true. Yeah.
it's an individual responsibility.
Sure.
And this fear that AI is generating all of this stuff and now it's going to be even more difficult for us to determine, it's no different. Whether it's a result from an algorithmic procession of material generation or a consolidated result of material generation, from our perspective individually, it really doesn't matter, right?
Just, I mean, those are certainly a lot of words.
Just to clarify, what you're saying is, let me see if I'm following you here. You're saying whether it comes from an AI that is generating its statements from things that humans have already said, which is what AI is currently doing. It's you know, gobbling up all the data on the internet and then spitting it out when we ask it for it, essentially. Or whether it's some other determination that humans make on their own, it's all similar. Is that what you were getting at?
Yeah, I would say it's very similar.
Mm-hmm.
And the veracity of someone's claims is ultimately backed up by the facts. But you as an individual, you either trust the source or you don't.
Yep.
And it would be unwise to just, you know, prima facie trust the source.
Indeed. You should verify. And it doesn't matter if that source is ChatGPT, which, as we've seen, has gotten details incorrect in its answers, or whether that source is your mom or your dad or a teacher at a school or your best friend or whatever, you still, you know, you probably should verify the claims, right? But then again, there's only so much verification you can do in life, right? Like, you can, if you can't see it with your own eyes, at some point you have to believe someone.
And even if you can't see it with your own eyes, that doesn't necessarily mean that what your eyes told you is correct.
It's real. That's true as well, yeah.
Guys, it's a matter of triage is what I really want to get to.
Okay.
That for some things that really affect our lives that we have to really pay attention to versus other things that are more tangential, we don't necessarily need to put that much energy into things that doesn't necessarily affect our lives. But those things that do, financially, I would say, like, you know, predominantly economic decisions are the kind of decisions that we defer to the experts and they mess us up. So I would say, with all of this discussion about AI on determining what is true, it really comes down to what affects your life the most. And of those things that affect your life, you really have to pay attention to it. And there are no easy answers in life, I guess that's what I'm trying to say. And I'll finish with this. I love you guys. And Ian, I wish you the best.
Thanks, Tom. Appreciate the call tonight. Thank you for the thoughts. I can't say I disagree with him.
I don't know how that subject of truth even got brought up into it, though.
I think he was expressing that with AI out there and all these technologies or whatever, like deepfakes, for instance, right? Like, it's hard to know what's real. It's hard to know what is the truth out there just by simply looking. As you said, even if you see a thing. You know, like I mentioned the Bruce Willis, the Russian Bruce Willis ad where he's, you know, 40 years old. Obviously, he's not really there, but it's persuasive looking. It looks like he's there. So it's hard to even know with your own eyes what's real.
That's because we can't. Everything is just a matter of belief.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there is no truth in any direction. It's just this is what I believe to be true. Therefore, I'm going to operate under the assumption that it is, but there's nothing out there, there's nothing that we can do to actually prove that any of this is actually the way that it appears to be.
Yeah, that's true. At least I think it is. If Bonnie were here, she'd be jumping all over you on that one.
That's just the nature of reality, right? Like, the only way I can prove that what my eyes is telling me is true is with my eyes. And if they're not reliable, then they're not reliable. And I have no way of demonstrating whether or not they are or are not reliable.
Yep. We could go off down this road. I mean, it's an interesting road to go down. To not put words into Bonnie's mouth, I think she would take the position, as I understand it, that there is an objective truth. But again, the question how do you prove what that is?
But we have no way to study or measure it.
Yeah, it's very difficult.
Yeah.
You can measure with your own experience, or you can trust what somebody else's experience is. But in that case, you're just believing, right?
Right.
You're picking an expert.
Or I'm just believing my eyes. Mm-hmm. But any of those things could be wrong, and I have no way of determining whether they are or aren't. So.
I mean, we know people are colorblind. I've got some colorblindness. A lot of men.
I mean, there's plenty of people who, pareidolia is a thing where people see faces. All of these ghosts, most of these ghost television shows that you see, they're like, look, we saw a ghost here, and they go and they study, and they just, oh, no, it was just a trick of the lighting or the shadows or whatever, and it created this. Yeah, but there's still someone out there who believes they saw a face, and we can never prove that they didn't.
Sure.
And maybe they did.
Maybe they did.
Or maybe they didn't. It doesn't matter, but their eyes certainly told them they did, and they formed their worldview based on what their eyes told them, just like mine told them, no, it was really a shadow. But neither of us can determine which one of us is 100% truly correct, because it's just a matter of my belief versus theirs.
Yeah, what was it? Was it Plato who said there are more things in the heaven and earth than are dreamt of in your philosophy? There's things we don't understand that are out there right now that maybe someday we'll be able to become aware of and believe in, you know, whether it be Bigfoot or aliens or some other dimension or whatever. We have no idea.
We don't. And we can't know.
Yeah. And then some people have out-of-body experiences and things like that, which are also very interesting. People with near-death experiences, which are all very, very similar, even though some people don't even have... there's been studies on near-death experiences with people who are like children. They don't per se know about near-death experiences, so they wouldn't be able to relate them because they knew about them. But they have them, and they're all very, very similar. Is it just a trick of chemicals in the brain, or is there something to the idea that your consciousness can exist outside of your own body?
I don't know, but it's difficult for me because I don't believe in any of that, right? I don't believe in souls or spirits or ghosts or afterlives or any of that, but like, I also don't think these people are liars, and I have no other way of explaining
and
some of these things.
You've never had such an experience.
Right. But how else do you explain something like all of these people who, from all of these different cultures, from all of these different timelines and backgrounds, having such similar experience, similar near-death experiences? Like, I can't.
Indeed, but it is a fascinating thing to study.
It is, and it is significant that I can't explain it, but I don't have to be able to explain it, you know? I don't know.
It's a fascinating thing to say.
Yep.
The number here, if you want to weigh in, is 603-283-6160. We do have time for you on Free Talk Live. 603-283-6160. A little bit more here from the Na'vi fanatics who are, some of them were worried about what might happen to them if they go and see the sequel to Avatar. One of them here, Williamson, says, there's always a little bit of concern that it might trigger me again. I could see it being slightly less emotional in the sense that it is a return to Pandora, but since we're exploring new areas that we haven't seen before, it does still have that shock of the new, he says. I don't think I'll know it, or I don't think I'll know until I see it. As for Perrin, he's particularly excited about the linguistic implications of the new film, which could broach a new Na'vi dialect through the story's introduction of the Metkayina clan, a group that lives alongside Pandora's reaps. So in the movie, there's a change of scenery. Instead of being in the same forest where you spent most of the first movie, they move you to an ocean area. And that's basically the main change.
Yeah, I was under the impression that the entire planet was mostly forested. So
I don't know.
I don't know, but I didn't, you know, study the history of this fictional world, right?
Me neither.
And I'm not opposed to someone doing that. If you're fascinated with the fictional world, sure, go ahead and study if you want. I think it's probably alarming if this fantasy world can trigger you, as indeed these people used, but to each their own.
He says, I didn't want a life that was free of problems. It was just that the problems of the world of Avatar seemed more overcomable than my own problems, Perrin says.
Well, that's weird.
Yeah, I mean, they were looking at total extinction of their planet based on, you know, these murderous humans coming in and, like, dropping bombs or whatever on them. I mean, what problems was this guy dealing with? I mean, getting up on time?
Yeah.
Were you having trouble going to work on time?
Girlfriend broke up with you?
That's a bizarre thing to say.
Yeah.
In a bizarre way for this person to view the world.
He reflected on his post-Avatar depression and his time before moving to Texas. He says, "It's going to be a very introspective time for me. I don't think it's going to be as negative as a lot of people's first post-Avatar depression. It's going to be more solemn, sentimental, and retrospective," he said. The peculiarity of his circumstances aren't lost on him. Most life trajectories aren't shaped by a single sci-fi blockbuster, but after finding a support system through Clue Trial, which is their Discord server, the Way of Water isn't just a long-awaited return to an alien world he loves, it's a hard-fought moment of triumph. Quote,
I mean, good for them, I guess, but it's foreign to me to have this level of obsession with a piece of cinema.
Yeah. He says, this is a movie about blue space cats. There's a good portion of people that are like, Avatar 2? Did we really need this movie? Yes. Yes, we did, he says.
I mean, I never asked whether or not we needed the movie. I mean, if people want to watch the movie, certainly it sounds like it was successful. So
yeah,
sure.
It was fun.
We needed Avatar 2. But I'm avoiding the Final Fantasy VII remakes, right? Like, these are remakes of video games that came out. They've been coming out. I'm avoiding them for a number of reasons, most of them philosophical. I don't think the games needed to be remade. They were fine as they were. It's just a cash grab by the company. And instead of releasing a single complete game, they're serializing
they're doing
it.
Multiple parts.
And, yeah, to make the most money possible off of it. And I don't think that they...
Now, aren't they stretching it out, too?
They're
like
also
padding
doing
it?
That. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, they took this concise little story from the original run of the game and they turned it into something that's 7, 8, 10 times longer, and
wow.
To me that's just obnoxious.
How many games have come out so far of Final Fantasy VII?
I believe just one.
Remake. Oh wow, okay.
I believe it is just the one.
This
so
is
going to
take some time then.
Yes, and that's another reason.
That was like
why.
A couple years ago.
Yes, that's another reason I'm wholly against it. Like, you want to give me with a complete story? Okay, that's fine. Mm-hmm. But video game companies in particular, they have a terrible track record of fulfilling any of these serial promises.
Mm.
Like, they've all done it, and I think Squaresoft or Square Enix, the company releasing Final Fantasy, has also done it where we're going to release this game in four different parts, and the first part comes out, and then the second one is delayed, and the mm-hmm. third one just actually never comes.
Never makes it.
Yeah. It's happened over and over in the video game
world. That's a disappointment.
Maybe Square Enix will actually pull through for something as big as Final Fantasy VII, but Each iteration of the game is going to be a little bit less successful, a little bit less popular than the one before.
You would think they'd have them ready to go, too. Like, if they really wanted to keep up the momentum. Like, I could see that working if it was, like, on a schedule. Okay, the first part's going to come out, and then the second part's coming out 6 months later, and then the third part's coming out 6 months later. That way you can keep hitting
people.
Well,
then people get burned out, though. Right? Mm-hmm. There's no way for them to do, as far as I understand it, there's no way for them to do this in a way that's actually going to work. Either they release a game every 6 months, and look, as much as I love video games, I'm not going to invest in a 200-hour video game every 6 months. Mm. And no,
that's not how long these are, though, right?
Only if you do all the side quests and everything, right? But, I mean, it's the size of a full RPG, so it's a good 40 hours.
You've looked into it, then?
Yeah.
You've considered it?
No.
No.
No, I was never going to buy it. But, okay. You know, I was curious about what it is and how it works. Mm-hmm. But it's just the length of a full game, and like, that's a lot of time to invest in a single game. And
especially a game you've played before, and you
right.
know the plot.
And I don't think they're going to find too many people who would be willing to dive back into that again every 6 months. Mm-hmm. They'd get burned out on it. And if they space it out too much, people are going to get bored with it. They're like, you know what, I don't actually need the third one. They're going to lose interest, move on to other things. And the company's going to move on to other things. To me, it was just a bad idea, and I don't know why they did it, except to milk people for as much money as they possibly can, and that is why I won't do it. But that's not avoiding it because I'm worried it's going to trigger me, or because I'm worried it's going to upset me, or because I'm so tied to the original story and the characters, and
right.
I'm so in love with them that I just can't handle the sequel. No, it's just, it has no interest to me.
Mm. You know, at least the movie industry can't get away with what the video game industry does. I mean, every now and then you'll see a re-release of a movie,
yeah.
like a limited run. For instance, when the movie Alien came out, it was 1979. I wasn't alive yet, right? But when it had its 40th anniversary,
it came out in like a handful of theaters. They ran a special edition of this thing, and they played it 40 years later. It's like, okay, I'll go. I'll buy a ticket to that. I'd like to see this on the big screen. And, yeah, they re-released Avatar at one point, so people had another chance to go back and see that. But that's not quite the same thing, and it doesn't happen as often as you see in the video game industry, where it's like, oh, we had a big hit here in 2005 with this Grand Theft Auto. Let's re-release it and repackage it, and oh, we'll throw in a little graphical upgrade and call it a whole new $50 game.
Yeah, there's no industry that's as corrupt and money-grabbing as the video game industry. They do that repeatedly.
That's what I'm saying. It's all over the place.
You pay $60 for a full-length game, and then they sell you DLC that they cut from the game on top of. They deny this initially, but it's become widely accepted that, yes, they do, in fact, cut pieces of the game out that are finished and ready to go.
So they can sell it to you later on.
Some of this is even on the disc that they sell you, and you still
need to... And they just unlock it.
They unlock it with the code that you... And this is to prevent people from reselling the game or whatever, but it's still messed up. They had this thing ready to go, and they purposely left it out so that they could sell it to people later.
That is just so... It seems so mercenary.
It is, and if it's not that... Can you imagine paying $20 to see a movie, and then 6 months later they go, oh, okay, well, we've omitted the ending to the movie, we made it a little bit better, so for $5, we'll let you see the next 15 minutes of the movie.
Yeah, people would be insulted by that.
And video games do it all the freaking time.
Or they get away with it.
Or you're watching a movie, and it's like, hey, do you like this movie? Well, pay an extra $3, and we'll upgrade the sound for you a little bit, like this DLC that we have in video games. It's absolutely disgusting, and it's mind-boggling what video games are allowed to get away with. And people continue to buy it. Skyrim just released again.
Oh, my God.
One of the best-selling RPGs of all time that everyone has already played.
Has there been a sequel since Skyrim?
No.
That's what I remember. That came out in like 2011.
And the owner or the president of the company, Bethesda, is on the record as saying that the biggest problem they have with Skyrim, the biggest flaw, is that they can't continue to monetize it. He's like, people are continuing to play Skyrim and they're streaming it and they're enjoying it, and we're not making any money off of it.
Jeez.
Like, well, that's
make a new game, dummy.
That's the whole point, right? But no.
Wow.
Instead, they just released a new edition.
Amazing.
It's the same freaking game.
Out of time for tonight. Back tomorrow. You can join us between now and then online in the meantime, freetalklive.com. Don't forget we got our own Matrix chat server at chat.freetalklive.com and our social media, Mastodon, over at social.freetalklive.com.
If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-grid electricity, this will be the most important message you'll hear this year. Here's why. We now have a small number of solar generators back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Whether it's wildfires, dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses, too. Go to MySolarBackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's MySolarBackup.com. Look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. Yours free at MySolarBackup.com.
Have you ever watched a video on the internet and found yourself waiting for the skip the ad button? The reason this takes a few seconds is because the video delivery companies get to collect impression commission, and the viewer never sees the advertisement. The company still pays full price to run the ad. Does this sound like a scam to you? Is there any wonder why internet ads are so ineffective? For over 100 years, radio has been a proven source for companies' messages. Radio listeners are engaged and want to support the companies that sponsor the shows they're so passionate about. Simple companies like window treatments, security, pillow companies, and more have been able to break away from the big box stores, building multi-million dollar businesses. Find out what radio can do for your business. Call 877-996-4327 or advertise at gcnlive.com. That's advertise at gcnlive.com.